You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, just Mike Brennan. Matt's trapped in the snow out there somewhere between here and Dearborn. Hopefully he'll be here at some point, but right now you just got me. And we also have with us Robert Bollinger, who's the founder of Bollinger Motors. He's working with Lawrence Technological Universities, and we're going to try to pronounce this right, Centropolis. What is it, do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, works for me. Accelerator. he's actually developing an electric sport utility vehicle and an electric pickup truck. Now, he arrived at the show in a gigantic honking diesel, and I go, does it look electric to me? So that clearly wasn't the vehicle, right?
Right, right. Yeah, that's back in the shop, safely away from all the snow and crazy drivers right now.
Yeah, absolutely. This would not be one you'd want to have at all, particularly since you said it was your only prototype, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's the same one you see on the videos online and all the testing we've done to it. It's one and only right now.
So since we've just said that, why don't you give people your website so they can actually go see that?
Sure. BollingerMotors.com, BOLLINGER.
Okay. And so we were talking, waiting out here for everyone to arrive, and they still haven't. But so I get a little bit more background on them, and came out of New York, which I didn't think was a big car capital. It is for selling. I mean, Cadillac was based in New York City for a while, but that didn't work out.
For a hot minute, yeah.
It didn't work out too well. And so it's back in Detroit. And so are you. So you came to Detroit because...
Yeah, we came to Detroit because we had to. Here's where all the vendors are that we wanted to talk to. Here's where all the engineers are we want to hire and need to hire. We're hiring like crazy right now. So, we need to be in the middle of it.
Okay. Well, that was Matt calling in, but I just put him on decline because we're right in the middle of the show. Okay. I was encouraged to learn that, you're going to build your vehicles here in Detroit as well, right?
Yeah, that's the mission. As soon as we moved here, sold everything back in New York, moved everything here. All the team came out here. We've hired a lot of people in Michigan since we moved here just last summer. And the total intention is to build it inside Detroit. So we want to have the vendors nearby, as many components made in Michigan, in the U.S. as possible. And what we can't get made nearby, we want to license and make it nearby.
Okay. And so, tell us a little bit about your different models. I know one was a sport ute, the other one's a pickup truck. And are there more in the works?
So the first one you see on our website is the B1, and that's the two-door. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one we made. That's the one that we've been testing like crazy. We've been doing the engineering and CAD work on the B1 four-door, mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to make next. And then we also have renderings on our website of the B2, which is our four-door pickup truck. So those two share an awful lot of the same components all the way up to the D-pillar. So we can make those at the same time, both in prototype and in production. So those are the first ones we're going to make in Detroit.
So you can do agile manufacturing, essentially, right?
Yeah, and we'll be able to make according to what people order, mm-hmm. is the thought. And then we're going to bring back later the two-door B1 and the two-door B2.
All available in black only, like
black
Henry
only,
Ford, right?
Exactly, no. It's a dark gray. We call it gunhouse gray.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. How do you compare your vehicle, say, to other electric vehicles that are out there? How do they stack up?
Well, the reason we made this is that because there wasn't anything on the market that I wanted, mm-hmm. and our team didn't, we were wanting a truck, and there wasn't anything like that. So we didn't want a sedan. We didn't want a small little, hatchback kind of thing, even though they're perfectly great and wonderful, and we hope they sell like crazy. But we wanted to fill a void, which was a truck. Uh-huh. And so we went crazy with it. We had no holds barred in our engineering, so we just did everything we wanted in that truck. So it has crazy off-road capability, fully road legal, but there's nothing like it as far as its off-road capability.
What sort of, well, how much distance can you get out of a battery? I guess there's no miles per gallon in an electric, but I mean, how long will it run before you get a recharge or change batteries or whatever?
Yeah, we are shooting for 120 kilowatt hour pack, which our modeling puts us at over 200 miles range. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of like the line in the sand that's, you know, if you hit 200, you're doing pretty good. So
where was it I was hearing that somebody was telling me the other day, I can't remember if it was Europe or Asia, where they're going with, you pull up to a service station, as it were, and instead of, with electric vehicle, and instead of having it charged, they just change out your batteries. You leave your old battery there, and they recharge that. I thought, that's a great idea.
Yeah, Tesla looked into that for a while, and then they dropped the idea because just the technology behind charging has gotten so much better into putting in a charging station. And basically, people don't need to charge their whole battery while they're sitting there on the highway. You just want to do a little bit. So like 80% of people who own EVs charge at home. Mm-hmm. And so the on-road direct charging, quick charging is just to basically get you to your next spot is how it's mostly used. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to go through all the mechanics of removing an entire battery. It's easier to charge.
Okay. And so talk a little bit about working with Lawrence Tech. How's that working out for you?
Cool. Yeah. What's great is that because we moved from upstate New York, where there isn't no automotive, you know, support, it's a beautiful spot and there's a lot of great people and a lot of great engineers, especially in, you know, Albany area and stuff like that. But we definitely needed to move to the vendor. So what's great about LTU is that it's making the connections with us to everybody in the area and just showing us stuff that we had no idea was available. So it's a great introduction to Michigan and Detroit.
Well, of course, there's a big auto infrastructure here. It's been going on for a long time, what, about 120 years or so.
Yeah.
Going forward, then, you're going to get into electric bikes or anything like that?
No. Our focus is trucks and truck capable and all the stuff you can do with trucks, off-road, you know, storage, all the different kind of things we can do with that. We don't have no interest at this point to go into cars or anything else.
You're truck guys.
Yeah, right? We're truck guys. Yeah.
Got it.
And gals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good. Now, are you finding enough warm bodies here? Are you able to recruit well enough here?
Yeah. It's difficult. The process of hiring someone always takes some time, but we're finding great people. Everyone on our team is amazing, and they're in it to win it. And so we just keep looking for all the people who might be moving on from other companies in the area due to certain circumstances. We're here hiring.
Yes.
So you can go to our website.
Now, there's a bit downsizing going on, which is to your favor right now, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say to favor, but yeah, hopefully you find great people. And so you can go on our website and see what we're looking for. We're going to keep posting more and more ads and, for jobs, and we need to hire like, you know, 20 people immediately, 100 people, hundreds of people down the road. So
you're looking for what in particular?
Right now, a lot of engineers, electrical engineer, thermal, vehicle dynamics, vehicle controls, that kind of thing. And then, you know, towards the end of the year, we'll be looking for technicians to help build them on the factory line.
Uh-huh. And where is the factory line going to be?
We're talking to a couple different possibilities. One is, you know, with tier ones and whatnot to help partner with us. Uh-huh. We're also looking at just straight out property to move into and then get support from tier ones, you know.
Could do the Tesla thing and buy a factory from one of these auto OEMs that are closing down. Right?
Yeah, we might not do it with a huge amount of support from the government. Hopefully do it our own way, but we're making plans to definitely be in the area.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes. So just real quickly, give me 1 minute of why did you do this and you're using your own money, right?
Yep. Using it fast. And so the idea, I went to school for industrial design, wanted to get into automotive styling and stuff like that, and went a different path with my career and all that kind of stuff. But it afforded me the opportunity to come back and do something like this and have, you know, do it from the ground up our own way. So it all worked out for the best.
And it's gutsy throwing your own money in the middle of the table, right?
Yeah. That part is gutsy. The emotional and, you know, all the late nights and the everything else that comes with running your own business is more, you know, at your heart.
Right.
Until you get closer to the end of your money, maybe. But and then it becomes a different thing. Yes. But we're good right now. And but the big, you know, going out there to to raise funds for manufacturings a little later.
Yeah, that's what you were saying early on. Right now, the next step would be going out, finding angel and or probably literally for venture money, but angel money certainly.
Angel, I guess I'm the angel right now, yeah, in a way. So what's great about it is that we didn't have to worry about that kind of thing, and we could just, you know, first play around and see what we wanted to do,
sure,
and take the time to figure out what we want to do and then make it great and then make this awesome truck without having to worry or answer to anybody. So it's been perfect path along the way. And now that we're getting to the big time numbers in manufacturing, we definitely want to take on strategic partners and stuff like that.
Yeah, that might be your better step, because if you go with the vulture capitalists, you know, you're going to end up losing control of the company,
right?
You know, you don't want that.
No.
So, all right, one more time. We're almost out of time. So if folks want to learn more about you, what's that website?
Yeah, BollingerMotors.com is the best place to go. And then we're all over Instagram and Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and he's hiring. So all you auto workers who are getting downsized, keep that in mind. So that's Robert Bollinger, founder of Bollinger Motors. He's just around the corner from the studio here in the Royal Oak area right now. Who knows where you're going to end up doing your new facility. So this is Mike Brennan. Matt's still trapped out there in the snow somewhere. And we'll be right back. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. Matt Roush is still trapped in the snow somewhere between Royal Oak and Dearborn. We hopefully will see him at some point today. Don't know. But you have me. And you also have calling in, I'm not sure exactly where he is today, but Ahmed Alomari, who's the CEO of CyberNor. Where are you these days? Or at least today, anyway.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm in the office in Southfield.
Oh, okay, great. And CyberNor is one of our sponsors. A shameless plug there, bell there thing, yeah. So do I. But does a lot of stuff with Oracle. That's one of his main things, and of course Microsoft. And today we're going to be talking about MySQL 8.0, some of the new features that are available. So talk a little bit about that. So what's up with the SQL, and is it no SQL? I have not heard that one before.
Yeah, sure. So MySQL is, of course, was initially an open source database that was then acquired by Sun Microsystems, and then Oracle, of course, acquired Sun Microsystems in 2005, and so also added MySQL to their database engine portfolio. So it's an alternate offering in terms of either using the Oracle database or optionally MySQL. And, you know, Oracle as well as MySQL had different, you know, features. Oracle typically being more focused on the enterprise class database, and MySQL is more focused on kind of developing apps, especially in the web world, where new app developers wanted a quick, you know, database environment to develop the application and kind of roll it out. So MySQL has advanced quite a bit, and Oracle has continued to, you know, enhance it. So version 8.0 is the current release, and they introduced a lot of new features, which we'll go through today. One of them being the kind of document support, or what's called a document store, and the NoSQL or NoSQL essentially stands for not only SQL, which was basically an option that some database vendors, like for example MongoDB, provided, so that because typically most of the database vendors, including like, you know, DB2 or Oracle or SQL Server, would typically deal in, you know, relational format, you know, tables and you know, rows and columns and things like that. Although they support, you know, storing blobs and things, but mostly the data structure was, you know, sort of a well-defined data model with tables and columns. and no SQL-based vendors like MongoDB allowed you to store kind of documents, such as you know, a JavaScript document or a JSON document or an XML document, and then, you know, use SQL commands to kind of, you know, extract and parse it up. And so MySQL 8.0 added that support now, so they support essential SQL sources as well as not only SQL sources, which is the NoSQL. So one of the things, for example, in the new document store in version 8.0, is which is nice, is essentially because you can basically in the same database sort of have that mix and match, which, you know, a lot of the applications these days, they don't necessarily just deal with, you know, structured data of, you know, conventional transactional data, which would fit nicely in, you know, tables and mapped into rows and columns. A lot of times these days, they have additional data sources of, you know, unstructured data of, you know, storing text or emails or various content or, you know, video streams, things like that. So, and they need the ability to kind of intersect those two data sets to kind of, you know, logically join the document store, you know, with the relational data. And so that feature now is provided in 8.0. And there's a lot of, you know, native features that can essentially, you know, scan, for example, a JSON document, parse it up, and then extract the kind of, you know, fields that you need out of that. So that's a pretty useful feature. In addition to the document store being added to MySQL 8, they have essentially support for Dev API, which can either use, you know, patterns or connectors. So Node.js is a kind of a JavaScript library that developers often use today. And so now you can integrate that document store with Node.js, which makes it nice because, again, you can basically, you know, parse the document, search it, make updates to the document as well, and then post the document to the database so that it gets updated. And it has connectors for, you know, Node.js, Python, PHP, .NET, and there's also an ODBC adapter, and then native languages as well, like, you know, C++. And there's also a, you know, client-server protocol available as well. So there's an X protocol that can also be used to connect to the MySQL server as well. But the Dev API support and the document support is really nice. Some additional functions that were also added in version 8 were the window functions. So window functions are essentially kind of like the OLAP-related types of functions where you can essentially create a partitioned column. So for example, if you have, you know, sales data and it's, you know, stored by, you know, maybe employee ID, the sales date that it happened, the product ID, et cetera, and you wanted to create columns that, you know, roll up the sales by, you know, either date or by employee or by region or something like that, then you can use these window functions in the same SQL statement, which essentially creates additional columns, and then those columns become aggregate columns within the same row, which is nice. So that's what's typically called window functions in SQL Access. That feature has been there in Oracle for a while, but it was now added in MySQL 8 as well. So, which is really a useful feature for reporting and building, you know, dashboards and those types of, you know, business intelligence type screens. They also added in 8.0 the what's called CTE or Common Table Expressions. And what Common Table Expression is essentially, or people familiar with SQL, you know, are familiar with the with operator. It's basically a way of essentially materializing a data set using, you know, SQL constructs and then referencing that materialized data set or result set in a subsequent, you know, SQL statement. So, for example, a lot of times, for example, you might have a very complex SQL statement that may either be doing, you know, scans or roll-ups or, you know, aggregates or some data reconciliation, for example, and you want to kind of have a driving result set that you want it to start with this result set first, and then the rest of the result, the rest of the query will be based on that initial result set. And so prior to the Common Table Expression or CTE feature, developers would have to either, you know, kind of run that query and maybe insert into a temporary table or staging table, and then the next SQLs would be based on those temporary tables. Other techniques, sometimes developers might write an inline view, for example, but that has some restrictions because the optimizer may not necessarily drive from that inline view, so it might not be your driving query. But so by using basically the with expression, you can essentially execute that portion of the query that's inside the with construct, and that becomes your, you know, kind of driving result set for which the rest of the query can then be used. And in MySQL 8, they added support for that, as well as recursive CTs, which is nice if you're dealing, you know, with hierarchical data. Locking enhancements. One of the key locking enhancements, which is really nice, again, for, you know, for example, transaction processors, is this typically when you, you know, when you do a for update, for example, or lock a row, you know, in a database, typically if someone else has that lock, you know, another session or another transaction, then you either get an error or it waits indefinitely. So typically people would add that no wait operator at the end of the statement to say, okay, if I can get the lock, you know, then acquire it. Otherwise, if I can't, then I'll just throw an error and I'll try later. Now they added the feature called skip locked, which is really nice, which means, just as it sounds, is lock the rows that are available, and any other rows that are already locked, you know, skip over those. So that's very nice, again, for, you know, batch processing, where you need to, you essentially want to pick up whatever rows are available in the queue for processing, process those, and then, you know, come back and cycle around when the locks are available on the other rows. So it prevents, of course, getting an error, and having to resubmit the program, for example. So that's another useful feature. Also, data types, lots of enhancements to data types. One thing is native functions to basically deal with IPv6 addresses, which are the 64-bit IPv6 addresses, you know, with all the new devices and Internet of Things. Of course, we're going to run out of the old-style IP addresses. So there's, of course, a big migration these days to switch over to IPv6. Which would, of course, have a near unlimited amount of addresses for all the various devices that, you know, need to be on the network. And MySQL 8 added a lot of functions to be able to, you know, check, verify an IP address, as well as extract some of the elements like the subnet and, you know, which device it's coming from and things. And JSON functions. So JSON, of course, is the typically the data structure format that people use these days for, you know, web services or exchanging payloads. Previously, for example, XML was used, but since XML tends to be very terse and a very large payload, people are switching to JSON these days. And there's a lot of functions that have been added in 8.0, including, for example, JSON table, where you can actually turn a JSON document into rows and columns so that you can access it through SQL. And then there's also functions to, you know, aggregate the JSON document, as well as, you know, format it and extract specific values. There's also a function to merge JSON documents, which is really nice. There's
so,
also updates.
Matt Rausch. I'm just wondering, as a practical matter, what do these improvements allow someone to do? Is it apps run faster now? Information queries are answered faster now? I mean, what is the practical effect of all this?
So the practical effect is essentially extending the ability to build, you know, more complex apps, larger set of apps, things that you would have to essentially write a lot of code manually to handle before. So instead of having to, for example, write your own, you know, JSON parser and then dump it into, you know, tables and then, you know, write SQL statements to join those tables, all that can be done now using native functions as part of these new features. So that improves your breadth of applications. And also, of course, improves performance because all that code that you would have to write, you know, either manually or, you know, using third-party libraries, all that would be eliminated and replaced with, you know, native functions.
Well, it also means fewer opportunity for errors in the code as well if you don't have to write it yourself, right?
Correct. Definitely. Also improves the quality of the code as well because, you know, functions become native just as any other SQL operator.
Now, I know you're expanding, and I know Matt likes to always ask this question. So I'm throwing him a softball so you can hit it out of the park.
Okay, so are you hiring, and if so, for what skill sets? And if people are interested in a career with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure, we do. We are offering, looking for candidates today, both in the application development space as well as performance tuning, as well as on the sales and marketing side. Our positions are posted on our website at cybernore.com/careers. People are welcome to reach out to our website at cybernore.com, which is C-Y-B-E-R-N as in Nancy, OOR.com. Or they can also reach us by phone at area code 925-924-0400.
I know that one by heart. I've been editing a lot of his video lately. So that number I've got locked in my brain. And so how many folks are you looking for, Ahmed?
Right now, we're looking for 3 to 4 application developers, and in the Oracle / Java technologies, and we're looking for 2 sales and marketing positions actively in the Southfield office.
And then I know you also have a California operation. Are you hiring out that way or not?
We are. Those are local. If anyone listening from the Bay Area are interested in relocating, I guess maybe after today's weather storm.
Yes, they all want to go to California, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. We got about a minute left. So just real quickly, why don't you talk about the type of typical customer? I think you work with primarily Fortune 1000 companies. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. So we're a systems integrator. We focus on technical implementations of, you know, Oracle products and solutions, as well as Microsoft products and solutions. And we have also an application development team that writes a lot of those integrations and solutions between systems. For example, customers might have, you know, Oracle Financials and need to integrate with Workday or ADP or some other payroll provider.
Okay. And one more time, give us that website address for career information, for corporate information. And then the phone number. I could give it my sleep. Go ahead.
Sure. The website again is cybernor.com, and that's C-Y-B-E-R, and like Nancy, OOR.com. And our phone number is area code 925-924-0400.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. I'm Ed Alamari, CEO of CyberNor. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be right back in just a moment with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled segment of the M-Squared TechCast today from snowy Royal Oak, Michigan.
Ain't that the truth? Took me 90 minutes to get here from Ann Arbor.
Took me 90 minutes to get here from Dearborn,
yes,
for heaven's sake.
I was praying all those SUVs blowing by me wouldn't slide into me, too, right? God. Anyway, you love Michigan. You never know what the weather's going to be like. Yesterday it was sunny and warm. Today, a blizzard. So anyway, we have calling in. I'm not sure where you're calling in from. Are you local today? Are you someplace warm, Kathleen?
Oh, no, I'm absolutely local, but I am working virtually as usual today. And so I'm calling in from Snowfields, Bloomfield, current 3 inches, and we're projected to have up to 9.
Okay, it's Kathleen Norton-Schock, and she's going to talk to us as usual about Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Kathleen, you start wherever you'd like to.
Thanks so much, guys, and I'm glad you're both safe. Hopefully you'll be able to blast out of the studio at 3 o'clock promptly, because we are in a snow emergency, gentlemen,
oh,
and Jessica. Anyway, so thanks so much for the time. Diva Tech Talk is barreling right along. As you know, that is the podcast that Nicole Scheffler and I started almost 4 years ago now, that is dedicated to illuminating the stories of women in tech to inspire other women in tech to either join the field or be retained in the field. And obviously, our bigger love is for girls who are coming out of school, whether they be in high school or college, or, you know, just at the early parts of their career, to at least think about technology. So in December, we had a tremendous podcast with a woman who I haven't had the chance to meet, but Nicole has. Her name is Monica Bailey. She is the chief people officer for a relatively well-known company called GoDaddy. GoDaddy, of course, is the giant in the field of URLs, if you will, and they are the registrar for almost everybody's website, and they have been doing that for many years. Monica's been with them 4 or 5 years now, and she spent the first part of her career, 17 years, at Microsoft, another little company called Microsoft, starting out as a recruiter for them and coming up the ranks, and she'd been promoted rather regularly at Microsoft, working out of Seattle. And then her very last job I thought was fascinating because she was working directly with Satya Nadella before he became CEO of Microsoft, when he was busily heading up the effort inside Microsoft to acquire other companies. But her field is HR, workforce management, people enhancement. And so she learned an awful lot at Microsoft. And one of the comments she made during the podcast was she both learned what she would like a company to be like and what maybe it shouldn't be like. And so she took all of that with her to GoDaddy, where in fact she's very, very proud of what they've done. One of the statistics she threw out in the podcast is that 89% of their workforce would recommend the company to others, that they in fact are trying to get to full parity of men and women and actually all diverse groups. Also, they're doing a partnership with Stanford, something called Stanford's nonprofit extension called the Clayman Institute, which in fact is dedicated and has been for two decades to finding innovative solution to advancing equity in workforces. So Monica was a great podcast. I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to her. That was our December podcast. And then just within the last few days, we did a podcast with Wanda Castelvecchi, who is the national practice manager for ePlus and manages a $500 million business annually. And I loved her story because she started out, as many of our divas do, not even intending to go into tech. She was a law librarian using such things as LexisNexis and Westlaw for a small law firm she was working for, and then fell in love with tech. So she has gone forward in her career working out of the D.C. area for a number of companies that, you know, systems integrators, et cetera. And now, as I said, she runs a $500 million business for ePlus in a security area. She's a national practice manager. Along the way in her career, she tried sales for another company where she was a star salesperson, and then went into sales management and learned what a lot of star salespeople do learn, which is, what makes you a great individual producer, you may not enjoy so much when you move into management. So she shares that very candidly. And the other thing she shares is her love of lifelong learning. Every new challenge is something that she learns from. So she's really excited about what she's doing now for her career. And then on the philanthropic side, of course, both Nicole and I really related to her because she's the founder of something called Grit in her philanthropy life, in her volunteer life. That stands for Girls Rock in IT. And this will sound very familiar to two of you because what GRIT does is it helps to inspire middle school girls to look at a variety of tech careers. So she's done that. They've implemented that in four middle schools around the state of Virginia and DC. And she's hoping over the next several years to expand it to a minimum of 10 schools. And of course, after the podcast, we had a strong conversation with her about the other thing that we're going to talk about on your podcast today, which of course is the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, which is celebrating its 17th year and where we do an awful lot of the same stuff in the state of Michigan.
So that means
Talk, of course,
MCWT, Kathleen, MCWT can vote next year is what you're saying. So that's insane that it's been around that long. It does not seem like that long.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And believe me, you know, I'm generation 1.5. So I have been a volunteer myself for 16 of those 17 years.
Yep.
So in any case, Wanda is a tremendous podcast, and both Monica and Wanda can be found on the Diva Tech Talk channel, www.divatechtalk.com, where you can find our podcasts there, and you can download them from the web. Obviously, you can find us in the Google Library. You can find us on Stitcher and SoundCloud. We're all over. So let us segue right into MCWT, since you asked about it, Matt. MCWT, as usual, has a lot of things going on. First of all, in the month of February, we have two amazing ConnectNets. And for people in your audience who don't know what a ConnectNet is, that tends to be our monthly meetings, our monthly events that are held in various venues, usually sponsored by some of our sponsors. And the first one coming up fairly rapidly on February 8th is a breakfast session in Grand Rapids where, in fact, our speakers will be talking about the best practices in project in establishing and utilizing project management offices inside what we call PMO. That breakfast will run from 8:30 to 10 on the 8th of February, and it's hosted by Metro Health, and it's sponsored by Spartan Nash in Grand Rapids. And then secondly, we have a tremendous ConnectNet coming up on the 12th of February. That is an evening ConnectNet running from 5:30 to 7:30. And that will be held at Comerica Bank in Auburn Hills. And it's all about compassionate leadership and digital transformation, which personally I'm working with a lot of digital transformation leaders and have been for the last 3 years. So I'm going to be there because I'm excited to hear what the CIO and others from Comerica have to say about compassionate leadership and how we can use digital transformation to make the world's best leaders. Then the other thing MCWT recently did, and I think you guys are both aware of it, on February 12th, we had 160 girls who participated in our middle school and high school web contest for, I think it's the seventh year. And then on the 22nd of January, GM sponsored a whole contingent of our middle school girls from Emerson High School down to the auto show. Down to the NAIAS down at Cobo. And so we have great pictures on our Facebook site of these 15 or 20 girls who are all budding engineers, whether they be in automotive or technology, wandering NAIAS with their hosts from GM. So that was really fun. And then finally, our big news, of course, is that we've passed our leadership baton this month. And Jane Sadlowski, who is the founder and CEO of a company called AMI Strategies. She is, as I've mentioned before, I think on your show, she is in some ways a unicorn. She founded a company over 26 years ago that is still going strong, a software company in the Midwest, where in fact almost 40% of her, or I'm sorry, 60% of her workforce is female. She is the founder and CEO, and she rode through two recessions, and continues to serve a marketplace that is very interesting. It's all about expense management in the communications field, constantly introducing new products. And we did a Diva Tech Talk podcast with her about 3 years ago. If anybody would like to know more about Jane, her personal story is on our website. But she is now the president of MCWT. What we do every year is we have finally, in the last 5 or 6 years, we have a succession plan. So whomever was vice president, and Jane was that person last year, becomes president. So now she is now the new MCWT president. We're really excited because Melanie Kalmar, who is the CIO for Dow, is now the vice president of MCWT. And as I've mentioned at your show in the past, one of the things we've been striving for at MCWT is to encompass the entire state. So we've been growing rapidly in the north and the west, where we had a really strong presence here in southeast Michigan. We're now in Lansing and Grand Rapids, and Melanie is part of that growth. And she brings so many things to MCWT, including what I would call a real global perspective. She's one of the few friends of mine and executives, women executives that I know, who recently attended for the very first time the World Economic Forum in Davos.
Wow.
Right? Which is, it's pretty outstanding stuff.
Come a long way.
Back with an entire global perspective to help us strengthen what MCWT is doing in Michigan.
She's come a long ways from Muskegon, I'll tell you that.
I don't think that's the only place she's ever lived.
Well, that's where she grew up. We're both West Michigan people, so I knew she was from Muskegon originally. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. So MCWT has a pretty exciting, and then I guess the final thing I should tell you guys is everybody should mark their calendars and start watching our website around March, because the our Executive Connection Summit, which is usually sold out easily 30 days before it takes place, is taking place this coming May 29th. And we will be opening up both sponsorship for that, but more importantly, attendance for that, probably toward the end of March at the MCWT website, which is www.mcwt.org. And as you know, we usually have stellar executives at the Executive Connection Summit. And that has been every year that that audience has grown. I think last year we had 700 people there. We started out years ago, well, 6 or 7 years ago with a couple of hundred. So that continues to grow, and it will be, I'm not going to tell you too much more about it because we're still getting our keynote speakers in place. But again, that is usually sold out at least 30 days before the event. So hopefully when I, if I come on with you guys in March, I'll be able to talk more about
okay.
that particular event as well.
All right, Kathleen, give us, we're under a minute to go, so give us those websites just one more time.
Okay, great. So for Diva Tech Talk, we're at podcast number 77, which is Wanda Castelvecchi. You can find all of our 77 podcasts at www.diva, D-I-V-A, tech, T-E-C-H, talk, T-A-L-K.com. And for MCWT, again, all of our events and our press and everything about MCWT is at our website, www.mcwt.org.
All right. Thanks very much, Kathleen Norton-Schock from Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology and a whole lot more. We'll be right back in just another minute with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening at PodcastDetroit.com and other fine providers of podcasts.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And I'm over-modulating, but you're back with with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Mike, introduce our next guest, if you would, please.
I certainly will. He's a colorful character named Milan Stepanovich, and he's with the Detroit China Business Association. Gosh, I've known Milan for, I don't know, years, I guess. And he's also helping us with IoT Tech Connect. He's the one that helped us bring in InnoStars, the China competition, for companies that want to be China ready and go to China with an IoT company and make a bunch of money,
Make lots of yuan.
Yes, much yuan, yes. So how you doing today?
Almost perfect.
You must not be out in the weather then.
Not at all. I'm warm and snug in my office here in Big Beaver Road.
Okay.
And probably plan to stay here for a long time until the streets are all cleared, definitely.
Yeah, Matt and I had quite our expeditions. Took me 90 minutes to get in from Ann Arbor. Took him 90 minutes to get here from Dearborn.
Yes.
And we were just in Royal Oak, right? You know, so. But one of those days in Michigan, you just got to love it. Yesterday, sunny and warm. Today, blizzard. Who knows what tomorrow will bring.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Yeah, okay. All that stuff, right. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about your Chinese New Year event that you have coming up. And I believe the date is February 23rd, right?
Correct. Saturday evening, February 23rd, at the gorgeous Royal Park Hotel in Rochester, Michigan. This is the first time of us bringing the gala back to Oakland County since like 2013. And we're excited. We're excited. We're aggregating a lot of our business, community, diplomatic, governmental, and thought leaders and celebrating the most important holiday to over a billion people across the planet. And it's always been a good time of mixture of East and West food, culture, music, and really important celebration, and especially in the minds of Chinese and Asians, where this holiday is about family, it's about friends, it's about an auspicious future. It's kind of like a great way to start the year off.
Now we're a technology show, but I do want to ask you a cultural question. Why is it that Chinese New Year is this time of year? Is it they just want to make sure the days are starting to get longer again? You know,
well, there's it's to a lunar calendar, so it's actually like Lunar New Year.
Okay,
and so it falls on a different date. You know, just like other like the Gregorian and well, not the Gregorian, but like the Julian calendar is a different date. They go by a different lunar cycle, and the different Easters are based on different lunar cycles, etc. So it's something similar, but it usually ends up being in February or March.
Okay.
But yeah.
And this year it's the year of the pig.
Well, we'd like to say the boar.
Boar, excuse me. I was wondering about that. What's up with that? You know, the year of the pig.
we like the boar better.
Oh, okay. Is there
One was the year of the horse. You know, we had these great majestic horse graphic designs everywhere and images and stuff like that. But so, yeah, they have some interesting zodiac animals.
So what is the year of the boar supposed to foretell? Is it going to be a good year for us?
I thought this was a tech show.
We're going to do a little astrology here. Come on, work with me.
I don't know. I know there's something to it. This year there's supposed to be more of this or less of this.
Okay.
People that are born in this year. You know, it's the same thing as astrology. There's different aspects to each, you know, instead of being in a month, it's, you know, it's a Chinese, it's a yearly thing.
And sometimes it probably seems spooky accurate, even though you know scientifically it's all a bunch of hooey, but it's still fun. So,
well, let's just hope let's just hope people born under this sign aren't boring.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm here all week. All right, so let's talk about
let's talk about technology
something else,
now.
Please, so the Detroit Chinese Business Association. Now, this might be the first time some of our technology folks have actually heard that name. So, why don't you talk a little bit about your group?
So, the group started back in 1995. It's a 501c. What we've done historically is we were the main place for to host Chinese delegations until Governor Snyder came to office. There was no official state. Level in regards to hosting delegations from China. So Detroit Chinese Business Association was doing all that work. And then, I've been hosting delegations since 2010, been working with the DCB at an official capacity since 2013. And I've hosted a minimum of 50 different delegations from China. So what ends up happening is, one, we're showcasing what we are to Chinese who usually get misrepresented information. Like the Detroit, you know, when they hired me, Detroit was going through the bankruptcy. And literally hundreds of millions of people thought in China that literally everyone left the city of Detroit and just left it abandoned. That's literally what they thought was going on. And so we did a lot of work and literally picking up journalists from the airport, driving around, getting to meet the special people and, you know, and our great assets and so on and so forth, and inform them correctly that, yeah, a lot of people have left the city, but this is all just financial restructuring. And it'll, you know, and it's coming to the transformation and redevelopment of the city of Detroit, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously China is really moving forward with velocity in regards to technology, just by sheer population and the amount of graduates they have in STEM fields over there and over here. And as well as, like, you know, their party is a one party system and it's synchronized. And so they put out, you know, they have mandates. By 2025, they want to be leaders in all these great areas where we need to be leaders in as well. So it's some, in my way, in my view, is somewhat of healthy competition going on in there. But definitely, you know, people like me, we would like to see, like, Michigan, you know, develop an AI strategy for our state, for our ecosystem, and things like that, so we can best collaborate and compete, you know, with whoever, anytime.
Well, and it's definitely an export opportunity for Michigan businesses too, right? Because there are certain American products that Chinese just love.
Look, I'm looking your show notes. The Jeep, right?
They love American products. I mean, they buy close to 5 million GM Fords and Jeeps over there. There's none of the other Asian countries really are buying our cars like China does, and so. You know, that's a great foot into the door. Now, when it comes to technology and doing business, they do business in a different way. And so, you know, we need to, and what we like to do is pretty much educate people, hey, this is how you do business in China. And what we've been doing is introducing companies to governmental leaders. So when someone is now ready to go to China, they've met, like, the mayors of these cities coming to our events. When they go there, these mayors, last thing they want to do is for these people to have a bad experience. So they go out and they give them, like, whatever, the best property, the best buildings, the best, you know, partners, they find them, so on and so forth, that they trust to make sure they don't come back and say, hey, I went to so-and-so city and, you know, I didn't have a great experience, right? So we've been quite successful in managing and nurturing bilateral relationships on a subnational level, of course. But we also do work with DC, the Department of Transportation, even though Secretary Chao was not able to confirm because of the shutdown. She is sending her special assistant. And if the shutdown does not continue back in 3 weeks or whatever, we'll probably get a video out of her and she's going to send some more people to meet our leaders. Because our governor, you know, campaigned on Fix the Damn Roads, where we're going to have the Department of Transportation in town. We hope for them to be able to meet our new administration and get some more federal engagement here in our region and creating the future infrastructure and roads for the 21st connected autonomous vehicle deployment in the century, et cetera.
All right. So let's swing back around real quickly here to your big China New Year event on the February 23rd, because we do have a deadline coming up to register. It turns out to be Valentine's Day. We're getting all these yeah. nice holidays here involved. So by February 14th, folks have to sign up. What's the cost on that ticket, Milan?
So for non-sponsors, it is $350 per person or $650 per couple. And then there's tables and other sponsorship opportunities around the, you know, 3,000 and up. And also, we recently landed our ambassador sponsor. So DCBA Chinese New Year's Gala 2019 will be presented by Bosch Mahle Turbo Systems. So they got together and formed a new company, a joint venture called BMTS Technologies.
Hmm.
And so we're going to have their senior vice president of global strategy as one of our keynotes, as well as like the consul general from Chicago. There are a few other keynotes we're still in the negotiations with, and hopefully we can get Governor Whitmer to attend, just as Governor Snyder has attended every one of my galas, et cetera.
Well, I'll bring my video gear and we can shoot some video interviews. What do you think?
That sounds like a great idea to me.
Okay.
You know, one of the things...
DCBA.com. To register for tickets, I think the VIP reception is almost sold out. There's probably only about 70 tickets left for the gala, so it would be great.
Milan, one of the things I noticed about the auto show was that there were some European automakers that were conspicuous in their absence, but GAC Motors was had a larger presence than any Chinese automaker I'd ever seen there before, in a pretty much a full selection, a full fleet of vehicles that could hit every niche in the American market. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what China plans to do in the U.S. auto market, whether, you know, they're going to come in with imports at first and then come in and start building plants like the Japanese did. I mean, what do you know of their plans here for that?
So hopefully the trade-related negotiations, I mean, we have a transition period between two empires. That's what's happening. And so one thing is China has come in and done a lot of mergers and acquisitions with the suppliers here.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, GM steering column was a great example where they've invested about $1 billion in Saginaw, largest employer, completely, you know, saved 5,000, well, added, and now there's like over 5,000 employees up there.
And that's an amazing high tech plant too. Next year is if anyone ever gets a chance to go tour it, I did. It's amazing.
So next step is, okay, they're going to start like trying to figure out how to sell their cars globally. GAC Motors is more likely, you saw like 8 or 9 different models on the floor.
Yeah.
They only have like 2 models of those 9 that are going to be for the North American market starting next year. Those other ones are going to be going to other developing countries in, you know, Southeast Asia, in the continent of Africa, Europe, et cetera, et cetera. So each company has their own different plans, et cetera. But definitely, they would like to... you know, get a hold of this marketplace over here. So, the Japanese came in the 70s and the Koreans in the 80s and the Chinese will come in here soon. But again, reversing back. So here are these Germans did not show up to our auto show this year.
Yeah, darn Germans, right? You know?
And then, but we had GAC come with a nice press conference, a nice, nice exhibit. And then there was also the Quadrobot, which is a Michigan-based company, but their first product was designed with a ministry in China for the Chinese last-mile delivery market. And so that's pretty exciting stuff as well.
Hey, and I'm looking at your show notes, and I see that 15,000 Chinese-speaking engineers are available if we could just get them H-1B levels up a little higher, right?
Yeah, so currently between the big three and all the tier one suppliers, you know, there's about 15,000 mechanical, electrical, industrial engineers here. So imagine now also we're also looking at that Ford and General Motors, is, you know, the cycle's going to come around again. They're going to be like going a lot of people, right? So now we have all these Chinese-speaking companies, I mean, people here. It's like an amazing opportunity for innovative entrepreneurial types who have some great ideas for products and services to get to China. There's like talent here who speak the language and then are available and will be available. So Michigan also is like in a, we've got a great state relationship with China. That Governor Snyder, he became a rock star over there. Everybody in governmental units in China knew and knows Governor Snyder. He was hosted by the number two person. You know, he met President Xi several times. And, you know, I met with Governor Whitmer back in July when she was campaigning. She said she was definitely looking to expand upon what Governor Rick Snyder had done as a global ambassador for Michigan. And I think Ms. Whitmer is a little bit better looking than Rick Snyder, so things could even get better.
Okay. We won't touch that comment. We'll let that one go.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's time's up now, so it's Milan Stepanovich of the Detroit China Business Association. If you want more information about that big Chinese New Year gala coming up February 23rd, the website is dcba.com. I want to thank Milan and all of our guests today. Kathleen Norton-Schock of Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Ahmed Alamari, CEO of Cybernur, talking about the new features of MySQL 8 and Oracle Database 18C. And we kicked off the show with Robert Bollinger, founder of Bollinger Motors. He's working with my employer, Lawrence Technological University. Got to ring the shameless plug bell. The Centropolis Accelerator to develop an electric sport utility and pickup truck launching in 2020. Good show today. Nice variety.
Yeah, well, we try, so.
Okay, well, we will see you next week, unless there's 19 feet of snow on the ground
or
something.
Who knows? It's Michigan, right?
Okay, right. We will see you next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern time right here at PodcastDetroit.com. Right now, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.